Psalm 23, let's just start in verse 1. We're just going to read the whole psalm here, six verses. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Now, if you've been here for several years, you'll remember about 3 years ago, we took Psalm 23 and we just looked at it verse by verse. Enjoyed that study, enjoyed being able to preach that. Some of this may be some review from that, but as I think about Psalm 23, or as we think about Psalm 23, a lot of times we hear it read or preached or referenced at funerals, occasions that are difficult situations or that sort of thing. But I want to encourage you to think about the fact that Psalm 23 is not a psalm for the dead. It's not a psalm just for those who are going through difficult situations. But Psalm 23 really is the story of your life, and it's the story of my life, because it tells us the story of the fact, or the reality, puts our life into context with the reality that we are being shepherded by someone, and we're being shepherded by someone in every single season of life. And we're being shepherded by a shepherd who does not lack resources and who is not hindered in any way. The imagery that's being laid out in Psalm 23 is that of a Eastern shepherd. You know that David is the author of Psalm 23. You know that David was that king in Israel, that was the beloved king. He was not a perfect man, but he was a man who was the man after God's own heart. As you just think about David sitting down to write this psalm, and you think about his history, you think about his life, it was weaved in and out with God's special hand of providence, who was guiding him, leading him, raising him up, restoring him, blessing him. You think about the youngest son of Jesse, who, when Samuel said, "I want to come to your house," Samuel didn't tell Jesse exactly what he was doing, but God had told Samuel that he was going to anoint the true king of Israel. And at that point, David was so insignificant, at least in his father's eyes, as far as presenting him as something, that he just left David out to tend the sheep. He didn't even bring him in. And as Samuel goes down through the list and down through the boys, and God says he's not here, they bring David in, who at that point must have been a small young boy, maybe in his teens. He comes in from tending sheep in the field. And if you can imagine showing up from doing a task that you're the rest of your family was too busy doing more important things to do, the task that must have been the most menial task of the family, if you could imagine coming in from the fields, from taking care of sheep, and having a prophet there to anoint you as the new king of the entire nation, what a shock that must have been. What's going on? Well, it wasn't anything David was running for. He didn't campaign for the king of Israel, did he? But it was the shepherd who was leading him. Soon after that, David would be brought into the king's palace, not because of anything really special about him, outside of the fact that David knew how to play the harp, and that's exactly what it took to calm down Saul when Saul needed to be calmed. He made entrance way into the palace there. After that, he was the one who faced Goliath and slayed him. And then after that, he was the one who ran from Saul, ran for his life, lived in caves, eventually to be brought back and to be set up as Israel's king. I say all that just to say, if you go back and you read 1 and 2 Samuel, you really do see Psalm 23 playing its way out in detail in David's life. It wasn't just a nice poem that David decided to sit down and write one day, but as David talks about this, as David writes this, he really is writing about how God has worked in his life. And then if we were to take this psalm as it is intended to be taken, then we have to take this psalm, we have to read it, and we have to realize that as God is presenting himself as our shepherd, then this psalm is not just about David's life, it's about our life, it's about your life. And we could go around the room and we could talk about God who has shepherded us, who has led us, who has brought us from places that we would have never left to places that we would have never gone and places we would have never ended up had it not been for his providential hand. And so as we start and we look at the psalm, we have to realize that there are two characters throughout the psalm. Some enemies will be mentioned, but primarily two characters. There's the shepherd and there's the sheep. And as we look at this psalm, it's worth noting the fact that the main character in this story is the shepherd. Now that may seem pretty simple and it may seem like a pretty obvious observation, but I just want to encourage us all to realize as we think about our own life, we are so prone to think we're the main character, aren't we? We're so prone to thinking that we're the one who matters most. We're the one who controls the most, or maybe we're the one who is just on that center stage. But the reality is, brothers and sisters, we are not the main characters in our life, are we? We're not the ones writing our narrative. We're not the ones writing our story. We're not the ones who are taking care. We're not the ones who are charting our path or our destiny. That's just not it. When we think about our lives, we have to realize that your life and my life is being carefully guided and guarded by a faithful shepherd who knows what we need before we need it. We also have to realize, and we take great comfort in acknowledging and realizing the fact that as we think about our life, we have a shepherd who has not left us to our own resources. Isn't that wonderful? We've got a God who's full of mercy, a God who's full of grace, a God who owns the cattle of 1,000 hills. Our shepherd is one who does not lack in anything. And when we get to that second little phrase in verse 1, I shall not want, really the way that's more accurately translated in our modern vernacular would be, I have need of nothing. The Lord is my shepherd, and he supplies my every need. Isn't that wonderful? Because here's the truth about us. While we're not the main character, we are on the stage, right? I mean, we are in the psalm, and we're the sheep. And we already know this about sheep, but we just need to remind ourselves of what it is that sheep are and how vulnerable sheep tend to be. If we're not careful, we'll forget this about ourselves. But sheep, as you know, are just completely helpless. They're irrational animals. In other words, they can't really think. They can't really, they're not decision-making. They're not cunning. They're not wise. They don't know how to protect themselves. Very easily led astray. Very easily ensnared. Absolutely zero protective anything about a sheep. No claws, no sharp teeth. They're not fast, so they can't get away from anything. They can only see just a few yards in front of them, and so they're very nearsighted. And they get scared very, very easily. Not just scared, but scared to the point that they are petrified and they need someone to come along and to get them moving. They need someone to come along and comfort them. They need someone to come along and lead them. And brothers and sisters, as we look at this psalm, I just want to encourage you that this is not talking about some sheep or one sheep. This is talking about all of God's sheep. And so if you want to know where you fit into the story of your life, this is where you fit in. You're that short-sighted sheep that needs constant guidance. You're that helpless sheep that needs constant protection. You're that, when I say you're, let me just, we're all in this. We are that stupid sheep that needs wisdom from above. We are that scared sheep that needs constant comfort, and so forth and so on. And when you take this illustration and you think about it in your own life, you know, it doesn't take very long for us to see how this just really does interpret us and make sense out of us so well. So, for instance, when you think about periods in your life that you just do not understand, aren't you thankful you have a shepherd who's omniscient, who knows everything, understands everything? Aren't you thankful you have a shepherd who's full of wisdom? You get into places and you just can't really do anything. You don't know what to do, maybe. Aren't you thankful that you've got a shepherd who is all-powerful? He's not hindered. He's not wondering. You see, this works. Well, this works at any stage of life, really. So you think about some of our younger guys that are in college, guys and girls, and you know, you go to class and you either make your good grades or you don't, and you start thinking about maybe what in the world am I going to do when all this is over? 4 years, 5 years, how many ever years down the road? What am I going to do with this degree, or what degree I'm going with? I don't even have any real direction on what I'm supposed to be doing. Maybe that's not you, but chances are, if you're in college with as many as we have in here, chances are that is you. Because more than often than not, the folks that I talk to are just completely confused about this. And while there is no magic answer to it, can I tell you the answer that calms anxieties and the answer that can calm your mind and the answer that can really give you some true guidance on this? More often than not, folks will come and say, you know, I need to just figure out what I want to do. And my answer always has to be, I don't know. What do you like? I don't know. But you know what the bigger answer is? The Lord's leading you in this. You're not there yet, but you're being led. You've got a shepherd who hasn't left you to yourself. You've got a shepherd who's caring for you. You've got a shepherd who is providing for you. And you have a shepherd who will have you, place you where he wants you to be. Obviously, as you move out of that, then you have all kinds of different scenarios where the same thing starts. Maybe you have a job change, or maybe you have an opportunity career-wise, or maybe you have some family things that are going on. It really doesn't stop, does it? I mean, we could come up with all these scenarios all day long, and we could go around the room, and every one of us in here could come up with something different. But can I tell you something? The truth of the matter is, if we didn't believe and we didn't know that we have a shepherd who's all wise, who's all powerful, who's full of mercy, who's full of grace, who's tender toward us, who's more committed to our good than we are, there really is no hope for anything, is there? I mean, we look to our own resources, and very quickly we find that we come up short, don't we? If you haven't figured that out, you haven't taken a good look. We just don't have what we need. But then we look to God's resources and we find out that God knows just what to do and just how to provide right when we need what we need. And so in verse 1, we read and we take comfort in the fact that as we think about how we relate to God, God is our caretaker, is what this says. He cares for us. You know, it's the shepherd's job to make sure that the sheep are fed, make sure that they're watered, make sure that they're rested. It's the shepherd's job to protect the sheep from predators. And above all, it's the shepherd's job to protect the sheep from themselves, from their own foolish mistakes, from their tendency to wander, from their bad habits of getting into tight spots. You see, the reality is it's not the sheep's job to keep up with the shepherd. It's the shepherd's job to keep up with the sheep. And aren't you thankful for that? Isn't that comforting to know? In verse 2 it says, He makes me to lie down in green pastures, and He leads me beside the still waters. So verse 1 gives us our relationship with God. It also gives us the fact that God will provide for us what we need. If God is our shepherd and we have need of nothing, then he's caring for us, he's providing for us. And then it says, he makes me to lie down in green pastures. Makes me to lie down in green pastures. The picture there is the picture of rest. The picture there is a picture of being filled, of being full, of being content, really. Because whenever a sheep lays down in green pastures, that means the sheep has eaten all that the sheep can hold at that time, and he's ready to lie down and chew the cud. The sheep does not eat while he's laying down. As far as his digestive tract and all that, it's like a cow, and it's like several other animals where there are several different compartments in the stomach. The first compartment is a holding tank, and a sheep will just eat and eat and eat until he fills that up. And then he will lay down and he will chew the cud. He will just continue to spit that up, chew it, and eat it until he can take all the nutrients that are there, until he can break all of it down. As he lays down because he's full, because he's content, because he's been fed. And as he lays down to rest. Lays down to rest. Look in Proverbs chapter 3. We're talking about rest here, God's provisions. And in Proverbs chapter 3, he speaks of the rest that comes through wisdom, through discretion. That comes through regular intake or being filled with God's word. Look in 21. Proverbs 3, verse 21. He says, "My son, let not them depart from thine eyes." That's his words. "Keep sound wisdom and discretion. So shall they be life unto thy soul and grace to thy neck. Then shalt thou walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down and sleep, and thy sleep shall be sweet." He speaks here of wisdom, he speaks here of discretion, and he speaks here of the fact that as we walk in wisdom and discretion, that we find rest. We find rest. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. And then he says right after that, he leadeth me beside the still waters. Now, you know this already, but I want to remind you of the fact that sheep are so skittish. You know, they will not take a drink from waters that are rough, from fast running waters, from loud running waters. They are skittish, they are hesitant. And were it not for a shepherd that were there to care for them, were it not for a shepherd to just make the right provisions for them, to environmentally take what needs to be taken and slow those waters down, or look ahead and find a place that's quiet and still, those sheep would never take a drink. They would never get a drink. They would never have refreshment. And don't you know we're the same way? Don't you know, were it not for God and the power of His Holy Spirit really working in us in such a way that we're ready and able to receive His Word, you and I would never let our defenses down long enough to repent of a thing, would we? You and I would never embrace one of God's promises as being true, would we? You and I could find no refreshment from God's word at all were it not for that good shepherd who goes ahead and either prepares the word before it's spoken or prepares our hearts before the word is spoken to us. Both of those things need to happen. To go and to prepare us before we sit down to read or before we sit down to worship. I mean, if you've been aware at all of yourself, you realize that there are times that you come to worship the Lord and you come with all intentions to do it, and it can just be so dry and so dull to your soul, you don't get much out of it. You know that you could get up in the mornings and you could have your regular devotion, and if the Lord's not there, if He does not prepare the way for you, it's just like reading the newspaper. You don't get really anything from it. But we have a shepherd who is at work, and he's at work to make sure that the conditions are just right so that we can receive refreshment from his word. so that we can receive conviction, so that we can receive comfort, so that we can receive rejoicing in our own hearts, because we identify with the promises of God. And what I mean by that is we receive them with gladness. We know that they're true. And were it not for the shepherd, we could never do that. Verse 3 says, "He restores my soul, and he leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake." The idea there of restoring a soul is the same idea that we get whenever we look at conversion in the Bible. In Psalm 19, it talks about the word of God that converts the soul. It's the same word as restored here. And whenever you think about that in relation to a sheep, the way that works, or the picture that's there, is of a sheep that's laid on its back, a sheep that's got that's flipped over on its back and can't get up. And the shepherd comes and flips that sheep up and puts him right back on his feet. Now, there's more to the story than that, just as far as how that happens. When a sheep gets on its back, that's called a cast sheep. And more often than not, the way that happens is that the sheep will find a nice, soft place to lay down. And he'll get comfortable. And he'll kind of wiggle in there, maybe snuggle in there, however you want to say it. And the more comfortable he gets, the more he just kind of lays into that. And before you know it, the sheep's weight will just have him over on his back. Now, once that sheep gets on his back, if he's not flipped back over, he's going to die. And the reason he's going to die is because his digestive tract is made up in such a way that the gases began to mix and the gases began to do things that ordinarily they're not supposed to do. And that sheep will just blow up like a balloon until he's gone. He begins to lose circulation in his legs. And just by wanting to lay down and take a nap and get comfortable, that sheep can put himself in a situation to where he's ready to die. He's in a trap that he can't get out of. You ever known what it is to get yourself in trouble because of the comfort you were trying to receive or achieve for yourself? Of course you do. We all do, don't we? That's the way we work. We the selfishness of our flesh just craves comfort, doesn't it? And it craves comfort in all kinds of different areas. But whenever we just kind of boil it all down, really the way that we crave comfort is in the sense that we just want things to go our way. I want things to go the way I want things to go. And when they don't go that way, well, we can react in all kinds of different ways, can't we? We're just like that sheep. You see, we want to be comfortable, not just kind of comfortable. We want to be really comfortable. And not just your definition of comfortable, but my definition of comfortable. So that if I could just stack everything out the way I wanted it to be, there would be absolutely no need for heaven. I could just have heaven right here. But that's not the way it works, is it? It's not the way it works. We, so much of the time, look to what's in front of us. We look to those earthly pleasures to find fulfillment. We look to those earthly comforts and think that we need those, think that we have to have those. And before we know it, we're cast on our back. Before you know it, our soul needs to be converted again. We need to be flipped back on our legs. And the way this works really is a tender picture as far as the shepherd goes, a faithful shepherd. He'll see the sheep on his back, and he'll come and he'll pick him up. And when he flips him back over, that sheep's not ready to walk. He can't walk. He's lost all circulation in his legs. You ever had your leg go to sleep? Some of your legs may be asleep right now. You know, you sit in a place, and that's not the most comfortable place, and maybe you have your leg in a weird position. And it's maybe time to get up and go through the handshake, and you get up and try to wiggle your knee around to get that blood flowing so you're not limping on your way up. Well, that's what it's like when a sheep's cast. All four legs go to sleep just like that. And you can imagine trying to walk like that. And that shepherd will flip that sheep over and he'll begin to massage his legs to get that blood flowing because he knows he can't walk. He knows he can't walk. He flips him over and he does what he needs to do to make sure that that sheep can function the way that it's supposed to function. Now, when you think about God relating to you that way, how different is that than our day-to-day view of God? Do you think of God as waiting for you to mess up so that he can just come down hard on you? Do you think of God as withholding good from you because you haven't done this or that? How do you think about God? You see, the way that we ought to be thinking about God is we ought to be thinking about God like this good shepherd who takes this nasty, foolish sheep who will probably be on his back within the next week and have to be flipped over again and have to be massaged again and have to be set on the right path again. You see, that's me and that's you. We just don't always recognize it, do we? I mean, I don't think of myself like that all the time. But the reality is that's where we are. That's where I am. And praise God that he comes to restore our souls. Praise God that he comes to lead us in paths of righteousness. The word there for path is a word that just means a well-worn rut. And the point of that is the fact that when God leads us in paths of righteousness, God has a path of righteousness that he leads us down. That doesn't mean that God helps you to find yourself in some way and leads you on your own unique special journey. That's not what that means. That means that God leads you on the well-worn rut of righteousness. And the reason that it's well-worn is because it's a path that God has laid out for you and every other sheep that he has. How do we know about that path? How do we get there? How do we figure out where it is? Well, the Good Shepherd communicates that to us through his word, doesn't he? He leads us that way. And the reason he leads us that way is for his own name's sake. It's for his own glory. Verse 4 says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." David thinks through verse 4, and as he writes verse 4, he says there's difficult times, there's scary times, there's times where I don't know what to do, there's times where I don't want to keep going. But he says, I'm not going to fear evil, and the reason I'm not is because you're with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You know, I'm really thankful that the scriptures, as they lay out and talk about difficult times, difficult situations, that they do it in a very accurate way. Notice as he talks about walking through the valley of the shadow of death, David does not minimize what that is. So he doesn't say, though I go through these silly things that I make so big in my mind, they're not that big after all. It's not what he says. David says, there are times that I have big problems, but I've got a bigger God. There are times where I go through situations that are very difficult, that are very scary, but I've got a God that's bigger than that. And so I don't fear. I'm not overcome by these things. And the reason that I'm not is because God is with me. His rod and his staff, they comfort me. Verse 5 says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. Really, the summary or the gist of verse 5 is just the fact that God, even in the presence of our enemies cannot keep God's blessing from us, can they? What can separate you from the love of God? Nothing, right? Nothing. God's blessings will not be thwarted. They will not be overcome by our enemies. It says, you anoint my head with oil and my cup runneth over. And verse 6 says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. David gets to verse 6, and he gives a statement of confidence. He gives a statement of, in the midst of everything else, in the midst of chaos, in the midst of good times and bad times, he says, I'm banking on this. I know this. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And because that's true, he says, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And so as we think about Psalm 23, I want us to think about, or I want to think about even for myself, the fact that we have a faithful shepherd who's giving us everything that we need as we need it. And I'm thankful for that, aren't you? And so as we think about that, I also just want to encourage you that we ought to go to that shepherd for our own needs, for the needs of one another, because he's faithful. Faithful to his word, and he's faithful to his people. And so that's the message for this morning.
Thank you for listening to this message. Our prayer is that you've been blessed by the messages and the daily devotional blog on sermon audio from Ripley Primitive Baptist Church. We would love the opportunity to be of greater service to you and your walk with Christ. In other words, we would like to get to know you better. Do you have need of counsel, of a home church, or can we just pray for you? Please feel free to contact us by phone at 662-837-8590 or visit our website at www.ripleypbc.com.